You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Several years ago, the U.S. Department of Transportation conducted an investigation regarding the corruption involved in automobile repair. They found that when the average consumer takes his or her car in for repairs, they stand at least a 50-50 chance of getting ripped off. The ensuing report stated that 53 cents of every dollar spent on auto repairs is wasted. And as a result, every day, listen to this, every day Americans spend $55 million on auto repairs that are simply not needed. Of course, the majority of auto repair shops across the country are honest, but it is the notorious few which cause consumers so much anger and bitterness. But then let's always remember, dishonest auto repair shops are not the only thing which cause bitterness in life. This happens also in other areas. For example, one can safely say that there are thousands of people today who were promised a promotion in their job, and so they worked hard. But when the day finally arrived, then without explanation, the job was given to somebody else. And so this experience, like that of getting ripped off by a sleazy car mechanic, causes great and lasting bitterness. And it's not only adults who are bitter today. Sociologists now tell us that they see more and more teenagers who are bitter because their parents divorced. As a result, these young people have to try to make it on their own in life. Their dreams of college are often shattered, opportunities for getting ahead in life are greatly diminished, and again, what is so often the result? The result is great bitterness. From the mail that we receive in response to our broadcasts, we know that many of you who listen have had bitter experiences of your own. And what is most surprising is that dishonesty, followed by bitterness, occurs so often among relatives and even close family members. And for this reason, we have selected one of the most important sections of the Bible as the basis of our message of hope for today. And the powerful message is this: what other people and sometimes even family members intend for evil against you, God promises to turn into a blessing. This message, which is soundly biblical, is found in the first book of the Bible. And this story involves Joseph and his father Jacob. Moses records the dramatic story in the book of Genesis. Jacob, you see, had many sons, but Joseph was his favorite, and as a result, the older brothers greatly resented Joseph. One day, when their father was not around, the older brothers ganged up on their younger brother Joseph. They grabbed him, and then they threw him into a pit. And then they devised a plan to dispose of him. At the first opportunity, they sold Joseph into slavery. For many years, Joseph toiled tirelessly in the foreign land called Egypt. Eventually, however, he became the undisputed ruler of the entire nation of Egypt. But then something very, very interesting began to take place. The tables began to turn, as we say. And Joseph's older brothers, who years before had sold him into slavery, were now themselves in deep, deep trouble. A killer famine was stalking the land, and people were starving. Food had to be found, and it had to be found quickly. There was no time to waste, and the hope of life centered in one word and in one place: Egypt. There was food in Egypt. It was their only hope. But this is also where the so-called plot of the Bible story becomes extremely intriguing. The older brothers, who had years before sold their younger brother Joseph into slavery, were now facing an embarrassing, frightening, and potentially life-threatening situation. These brothers, who had earlier done in their younger brother Joseph, were now going to have to go to this same brother and beg for food. What would happen when the guilty would face the one they tried to banish forever? The Bible tells us that the older brothers feared for their lives. What would Joseph do when he found out who they were? Would they pay for their crimes? Would they all lose their lives? Each one of them certainly deserved it. Joseph could have, as we often say today, he could have thrown the book at them. But Joseph didn't do this. Joseph was a man of God, and he did not seek revenge. In Genesis chapter 50, verses 18 through 21, we read, "Then Joseph's brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' And Joseph responded by saying, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? And as for you,' Joseph said, 'you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good.'" Oh, what Joseph's older brothers had intended for evil, God now totally changed. And yes, God transformed evil into a blessing. This is a powerful message from the Bible, and it may well be that this Bible-based message is precisely what you and your family need at this hour. Because of something that has happened in your family relationships or at your job or in school or even in your marriage, you feel hurt and you feel discouraged, and deep in your heart you may even feel very, very bitter. But God is saying to you, no, don't give up, and don't become bitter, and never ever seek revenge. Instead, be patient. God knows your situation, and just at the right time, God will take what was meant for evil against you, and he will transform it into your good. Then you and your family shall be greatly blessed. Isn't that good news? Oh, I pray that the story of Joseph gives you and your family hope and strength. Oh, may God grant you and your family the power to overcome all of the obstacles of discouragement and of despair and of bitterness that you may now be facing. Let's go back to Joseph and think about him for a moment. After being sold into slavery by his brothers, one would be tempted to believe that this would be about as tough as things could get in life. Not so. Once Joseph had been sold into slavery in Egypt, this was only the beginning of his nightmares. Joseph had many, many more hurdles to face. You see, in those days, there was an Egyptian officer called Potiphar. And this officer's wife looked with sinful desire upon Joseph. To put it bluntly, she wanted to make love with him. Joseph adamantly refused, and this angered Potiphar's wife. She thought that she had failed. She was embarrassed. But most of all, she was extremely angry. She had gotten burned, you see. And so, in order to get back at Joseph, she put together a very vicious story. She told her husband, Potiphar, "You know the Hebrew slave that you brought to us? He came in to me to make sport of me. And when I screamed, Joseph ran away." This was, of course, all one big lie. The Bible states that when this evil woman's husband heard the phony story, he fell for it, and he believed it, and his anger burned. Immediately, the Bible tells us, Joseph was thrown into jail. Now, we can well imagine what might have gone through Joseph's mind at this point. Here he was, a slave, and he had tried to live right, and he had tried to be decent, and to treat everybody with respect, and to please God. And so what does he get for all of this? For the second time, Joseph became an innocent victim of a very difficult situation. Will I ever get a break in life? Joseph must have thought. And many of you listening today may feel the same way. When are you ever going to get a break in life? And why do the good things always seem to happen to others, and the bad things seem always to happen to you? Why do you so often get accused of things that you never do? When these things come into your mind, my friend, then take time out. Yes, take time to read the Bible. And turn to the book of Genesis and begin at chapter 37 and read about Joseph. The powerful lesson of Joseph is very, very clear. Even though your burdens in life may now be very, very heavy, God does not want you to quit. He does not want you to, as we often say, to throw in the towel. God in heaven is 100% committed to rescuing you and to bless you and all those who place their faith and their trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. And let's not miss a second crucial point that God makes in his dealings with Joseph. In a human sense, Joseph had every right to seek revenge, but he did not do this. Joseph forgave his brothers. This, no doubt, comes as a real surprise to many people today. Because, you see, an attitude of forgiveness like Joseph possessed is not a natural thing for man. It can come to us only from God. We are all, you see, very much like the man who served as the mayor in the city of Boston in the 1920s. His self-centered and self-serving motto was, "Do others, or they will do you." However, you and I don't have to scum along the bottom of society by following that motto. Instead, when we are connected by faith to Jesus, then his power of forgiveness flows in our spiritual veins. We are a new person then. And not only do we forgive others, but God's forgiveness of our own sins brings new happiness and joy into our hearts. This lifts us up and it gives us strength. Our past mistakes don't haunt us anymore. We don't live a life of regret and we don't grieve over past errors. And so as you listen to the message today, know one thing for sure. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, all of your sins were paid for completely. When Jesus died on the cross, God the Father's wrath directed toward your sins was totally satisfied. And so then lift up your heads and don't look down anymore. Look up. You have a great future ahead of you. Your sins are forgiven, and you and all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ shall not have to suffer for your sins when you arrive at the gate of heaven. This is why it's so important, then, that you believe in God as Joseph did and that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you, by faith, believe in Jesus, then you please God. And when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are spiritually connected to your loving Heavenly Father. You are then one of His special children. And then God the Father, in a loving way, will take care of you just like a father takes care of his own children. Oh, my friend, the bond that God establishes between himself and his children is unbreakable. Even the devil himself can never destroy it. When you place your entire trust in the Lord Jesus, then you can be absolutely sure that God will defend you in your times of difficulty. God will lift you up in your days of despair. And then when others do evil against you, just as God did for Joseph, he will use these people's evil intentions and transform them into blessings for you. The dramatic Bible story of Joseph's life never seems to grow old or out of date. It has been the basis of thousands and thousands of sermons. The story of Joseph has also been told and retold to attentive Sunday school children in every generation all over the world. Even in our secular culture, we often hear references made to Joseph. Joseph's life has been repeatedly drawn upon by poets and dramatists and even songwriters. One of the best-selling country music songs by Dolly Parton was called The Coat of Many Colors. This, of course, was a reference to the coat that Jacob had given to his favorite son Joseph. Now, of course, Joseph died several thousand years ago. Nevertheless, 2 years ago, major newspapers carried the fascinating story about a newly published book. The author of the book alleges that a mummy, which had been on exhibit in the Cairo, Egypt Museum since the early 1900s, is actually that of Joseph. The body was first found in 1905, buried between the tombs of two pharaohs in the Valley of the Kings. One scholar claims that this is certainly the embalmed body of Joseph because he states that when they uncovered the embalmed body, the male mummy was found with his hands placed palms down under the chin. Thus, this suggests to some that the mummy, unique among Egyptian leaders, did not subscribe to the gods of Egypt. This, they say, is irrefutable proof of Joseph. Because Joseph, you see, did not worship the gods of Egypt either. Now, of course, this story sounds very fascinating, But we must remember that according to the Bible, Joseph's bones would not be found in Egypt. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we read that Joseph died and was originally buried in Egypt. However, during the Exodus, Moses took Joseph's bones along out of Egypt to be buried later. In the book of Joshua, we read, "Now the bones of Joseph, which the sons of Israel brought up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem." All of this information is interesting and even rather intriguing, I suppose. But the most important thing about Joseph is that Joseph not only understood forgiveness, but that he practiced it. And he did it with great joy. Unto those who had done him wrong, Joseph extended his hand of friendship and love. Because Joseph was forgiven by God, he now had the power to forgive others. Oh, may God, by the enlightenment of His Holy Spirit, grant unto you this same knowledge and this same power. Know that your sins were completely wiped out when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And now, through faith in Christ, practice the power of a forgiven and a joy-filled sinner as you forgive others. Be willing to forgive your parents. Forgive your children. Forgive those who have done evil toward you where you work. Forgive others with whom you have disagreed in the church. Forgive each of those who have done evil unto you. For when you do this, God will transform those evil intentions into many, many blessings. This is a true promise, and you can absolutely depend upon it. Your experience shall be the same as that of Joseph. In Christ and because of Christ, what others intend for evil against you, God will surely transform into blessings for you and your family. O Lord, we pray, grant this Thy promise unto all those who are listening today. Amen.